Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I hope you're well. I was considering giving you a call because I know you were busy listening to me today.
Busy listening to you today? I did go back and listen to some of them, yes, in between some spiritual work of cleaning bathrooms.
Baruch Hashem.
You have to think like that, or or it really is work, you know.
Well, it's supposed to be work, but it's supposed to be spiritual work.
Mm-hmm.
That's the work of the garden.
Well, I was cleaning drawers, you know, on the vanities and lavatories, that kind of thing, so.
I do know very well. I live with what I consider the younger generation, and their values are very different than what you and I grew up with.
Mm-hmm. We know that those things you do once a year, you know, you take everything out and you wipe the bottoms and all the shelves, and, you know, it takes a lot of time. Really boring, but something that has to be done.
We agree. Shall we start?
Sure.
We're reading from the Parsha of Pinchas, from section 29, the resurrection of the dead, verse number 161. Vayehi Noam Adonai Eloheinu aleinu maaseya deinu kevenei aleinu maaseya deinu kevenei. Amar Rabbi Shimon Beda Akshan Padmae Ava Garmi Milein Diachaya Tucha Barichu Nisin Viatin Mishanya Avad Behu Kucha Barichu Bachatzi Makitiv Zechar Naki Kachomer Asitani Vialafa Tishiveni Makitiv Batre Halo Kechalal Tati Keni Ukad bina hakti eni, or ubasar talbi sheni, uvaatzamot begidim, tisoch keni, zamin kutshabarifu, bevatar de yitzbele, barnash bi afra, umate zima, ditchiyat, Hametim Dehahu Garma de Yashtar Lemevad Lake Isada Dekad Vina Dehalau Unvia Dehalau Dehu Naviu Naki Vitsuk Bath Betsahuta Yitaral Hahu Garma v'yitzmehe k'chalava uvatar yachkilei v'yitzayar v'tziyura kag v'na v'k v'yuta uvatar yitzmeshach alei or uvasar Rabbi Shimon said, the earliest teachers had difficulties with this passage, but the truth is that the Holy One, blessed be He, performed strange miracles and signs with these bones, into which He breathed life. Come and see, remember, I beseech you, that you have fashioned me like clay. And will you bring me back to dust? And then in the next verses, have you not poured me out as milk? and curdled me like cheese. You have clothed me with skin and flesh, and have knit me together with bones and sinews. When a person has rotted in the dust, and the time of the resurrection of the dead has arrived, the Holy One, blessed be He, will remake him from the remaining bone that does not rot. Make it like dough, and as cheese from milk, and as flowing as a stream of pure, clear milk. For the bone will be refined, becoming very thin, and polished as milk, curdled, and fashioned into a shape like curdled cheese. After this structure is done, he will create anew the skin, the veins, and the bones. The metaphors expressed in the Zohar are really rather interesting. But what the verse is saying is what is taught in Kabbalah and in reincarnation. When we talk about the resurrection of the dead, every person who ever died, every body that ever existed, from the one-day-old child or less, who died even stillborn, those bodies will be resurrected because there is a reason why that body came into existence. And there was a soul in that body, even though it didn't stay a long time. There was a correction of some aspect of that body. And as long as there was a correction of the soul, there was a correction of the body, and that body will be resurrected, and that soul, those parts of the soul that have made the correction in that body will return to it. And the procedure that will be followed is that there is one bone called the loose bone that will be utilized to resurrect. Now, some of the scientists and some of the modern generation people speak of the loose bone as utilizing the DNA as the mechanism of restoring the body. And that may very well be true. I just haven't read it in the Zohar. I haven't read it in the writings of the Kabbalists. I haven't heard it from a teacher. So I can't teach it. What I do know, what I have been taught, what my teachers have expressed to me, is that the loose bone will be the source of the resurrection of the dead body. Now, what is this idea of curdled milk? Curdled milk? I don't eat curdled milk. Oh, of course, I do eat some yogurt, so maybe that's curdled milk. But curdled milk, normally, is lumpy. Will the body be lumpy? Is the body lumpy normally? These are questions that arise in my mind. I don't have answers. Bezrat Hashem, this body will be resurrected because I have made some corrections. I don't ever really know that for truth until it happens. But I have certainty that if I have made a correction, the body will be resurrected. Verse 162. Ahi diktiv halo kachalal, tati keni vekagvina, tak pieni itachtani la kiti vela, tati keni hiktitani la kiti ela tak pieni ilbashtani la kiti elat al bisheni sokav gani lakiti velat sokveni kuru levat arzina mashpa. Hence, you have not poured me out as milk and curdled me like cheese. You have clothed me with skin and flesh. All the verbs are, in fact, in the future tense. Not have you not poured me out, but will you not pour me out? Not have you not clothed me with skin and flesh, but will you not clothe me with skin and flesh? This is because the reference throughout is to a future time, that of the resurrection. This verse in the Zohar is talking about consciousness. It's saying all the verses speak of the future, and that's why it hasn't happened in those times. We need to stop speaking of the resurrection of the dead as something that will happen in the future. It's happening now. Some people fall. Some people spiritually fall. Some people become ill with cancer. And then through modern technology, or maybe through teshuvah, they heal themselves. That's a form, yes, a minimal form, but that is a form of the resurrection of the dead. It's happening now. And we need to understand that and start using the language of now. So the consciousness of a dead body coming to life can be made real to the people of the world. As long as we continue to speak of it as something that will happen in the future, we keep putting it off. We are the cause. Start being the cause that fixes, the cause that changes. Start referring to the resurrection of the dead as in the now. Verse 163. Uvatar makitiv chayim vachesed asita imadi darucha dechaye ve'itema asita imadi kitiv vela kitiv ta'aseh Ela haki amar, chaim v'chesed asita imadi, v'ahu alma shadidit. Birucha dechayim avaluk budacha, demadronita demalka shamra rufi, ihinat rat lerufi. Behahu alma, ma'uf kudatcha, diat samin lefakta, lavikat beta. And what is written afterwards? You have granted me life and favor. This is the spirit of life. But you may say, but it is written, have granted in the past tense, and not will grant. He answers that he said, you have granted me life and favor, for in that world you have given me the spirit of life. But the verse continues, and your providence, namely that the king's matron, Balhut, has preserved my spirit, namely guards my spirit in that world. And why does he refer to Balhut as your providence? Because you will in the future visit her first. Therefore, he refers to her as his assigned order and command. This verse is explaining to us that at the time of the resurrection of the dead, the soul is going to be sent in a reverse journey of what it went through in the grave. And it's going to go to Malchut first, because the grave is Malchut. Where do we put graves? We put graves in the earth, in the physical earth. Why? Some people build mausoleums. Some people, chas v'shalom, cremate their bodies. What is the idea of putting it in the earth? Even in the mausoleum, it's connected to the earth. This is the Malchut. The soul will need to go to Malchut first as part of its process, a part of how it finds its body and returns to its body and generates life in its body. I don't say the dead body. I don't say the old body. In its body, in the now. Verse 164. Virazad mila dacho nafshin Tzadikaya genizin Ut mirin tichot ursiya The Malka Vihi Natra Lom Diatava Lom Dukaihu Ahidikiv Uftudatha Shamra Ruhi Ma Uftudatha Kadaa Pekudato Yikach Ater Pekudatha Da matronita de malka de korufini nun pictonin vidaha ahibiki viasa afkidrufi vidomer vihi natra lon begin da shamra rufi vihi natra tla. And the secret of this matter is that all the souls of the righteous are hidden and concealed under the king's throne, which is Malchut, which is called the throne. And it protects them so that they can be returned to their place, as it is written. And your providence has preserved my spirit. What is your providence? The Hebrew word is pekudatcha. It is as in the verse, and let another take his possessions. The Hebrew word is pekudato. Your providence refers to the king's matron, namely Malchut, for all the spirits are pledges in her hands. As it is written, into your hand I commit. The Hebrew word is afkid, my spirit. And she protects them. Thus is it written, has preserved my spirit, for she preserves it. This verse is expanding our understanding of what happens after a soul passes. A part of the soul that corrected itself is considered righteous. It's considered a tzaddik. It knows that the other parts of its soul will eventually, in the now, become a tzaddik as well. And they will be reunited under the throne. And the throne is considered Malchut. The throne of God is a consciousness. And being under the throne of God, there is no way that the negative system can attach itself to it. There's no way that tzaddik, even though it doesn't have the protection of the other parts of its soul, it has the protection of Hashem directly. It has the protection of the Shekhinah, the throne of God, directly. And that's what's being expressed in this verse from the Zohar. Verse 165. Ke gavna damar David shamra nafshi ki chasidani shamra da matronita de malka dehi natra nafshi begin ki chasid ani ukal atar diktiv sitam da matronita kada avayikra el Moshe vayomer im shemoa ishva bekol Hashem Elohecha. David said something similar. Preserve my soul, for I am pious. Preserve refers to the king's matron, for she has preserved my soul because I am pious. And as a general rule, whenever scripture is vague and does not explicitly state Hashem, the reference is to the matron, who is Malchut. As, for example, in the verse, and he called to Moses, where Hashem is not mentioned by name. This is the verse in Shmot, but it's also the verse in, I believe, in Vayikra as well, it says, and he called. But it may, in that verse may have Hashem right in the verse. Continuing to read the Zohar, or he said, if you will diligently hearken to the voice of Hashem, your Elohim, where the speaker again is not named, and the reference is to Malchut. This Zohar is giving us a very deep, another part of our tools, and how to interpret scripture, how to interpret the Torah, how to understand it. I used the wrong word when I said interpret, because every person understands the verses in the Torah uniquely to their soul through their life experiences, through who they are. They read the Torah and understand it differently than each other person who reads the Torah because their life experiences are different. And that's what's being expressed here, a tool to understand so that when I read these verses in Scripture and Hashem is not specifically mentioned, I know that it's talking about the matron because the Zohar tells me so. Tells me that's how I should understand what is being said. Verse 166. Baka Rabbi Pinchas Amar Belav Amarit Lach Ishkimta Yahavadli Neviz Vazan Humatan Zaka Hulaki Zakina Lemecheme Lach Vishamana Da Amar Lav Amar le behahu zina tinach ahu garma she'ar garmin de'ish kehun ma yitavid mincho Amar le kuhu yitkalihu behahu neviyu behai garma le yitkalihu behadei Vaita vid kola Isaha davitaman Yitzayer Tiura Yimadit marhaidikti Viatmoteha Yahalit Maya Halit Kedaa Halat mehem Uhu Yitavu Miki Yumehu Vayitkalilu behai garma, vamecha veisa, Chaim v'gomer. Rabbi Pinchas cried and said, and did I not tell you that in my dream the Shekhinah had given me great offerings and gifts? The meaning was these sayings of Rabbi Shimon. Happy is my portion that I have merited seeing you and hearing this. He said to him, what you have said concerning the time of the resurrection is correct regarding the one bone that does not rot. But what happens to the other bones that are there? He said to him, they will all be included in the flow of that bone and will be incorporated with it, and they will all be made into one dough out of which man will be formed. As they said in the verse, and make strong, the Hebrew word is yachlitz, your bones. What is the meaning of yachlitz? It is as in the verse, he has withdrawn, chalatz, himself from them. In other words, they will all be withdrawn from their place and incorporated in this bone, making one dough, and then you shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water. This verse is really answering what I mentioned right at the beginning, that some of the modern people are saying that the loose bone will have some DNA, and that is what's going to form the body. But this is describing it totally from the standpoint of whatever matter, physicality, is left in the grave is all going to be utilized. That it's not that it means that they're wrong, that it's incorrect. It just means that they don't go far enough because they're thinking only in terms of the micro level. And this verse in the Zohar is explaining that the macro level also will be utilized. Verse 167. Rehaya mehemna amaraya mehemana vablon libne nasha v'inu natimin liba metimin amin bila yadim dekadate leil yatarin tegehinom Eat the tahu dihi, mara di ashanyain, ila de mit pashtin, talkin ad mohan, bekama hayalin, biyatse yetzer hara, mit pashtin bekol avarin, the gufa the tarin and the gimelayat. Dihu anin viliba mistat min vela mifachim dikol nifolin vianin miliba nafim. The Reaya Mehemna, the faithful shepherd. This verse we're going to be reading in English, and that we just read in Aramaic, is coming from Moses. It's being taught by Moses. Up till now, this discussion of the resurrection of the dead was dealing with Rabbi Shimon and the students. Now Moses is starting to teach. Now he will teach into the next section because this is the last verse of this section, and it doesn't say that he stops teaching at the end of this verse. The faithful shepherd said, woe to those people whose hearts are blocked off and whose eyes are closed, for they do not know that when the night comes, the gates of Gehinnom are open, which is called Gaol, and the odors that spread up from it rise up to the brain, and a number of forces of the evil inclination spread throughout the parts of the body, and the gates of the Garden of Eden, which are the eyes of the heart, are blocked off and not opened. For all the lights that are in the eyes issue forth from the heart. And I think you can see that this is an extremely esoteric verse. And that usually is the case with the faithful shepherd's teachings. What I gleaned from this, and I don't understand the verse well, but what I gleaned from this, the idea that the idea of the eyes of the heart, we don't think in terms of the heart having eyes. Eyes means wisdom. We don't even think in terms of the heart has wisdom. We think in terms of the heart is a seat of emotion. How is emotion an emotion? How is an emotion wisdom? Emotion. Emotion changes. How does that become wisdom? And that's really to understand this issue of relativity. Because our emotions change. Because the circumstances change. And that's the consciousness we constantly need to reinforce, that change is appropriate. That we always have to be looking at, what did we say yesterday? What is the value that we hold dear yesterday? Let's take a look. Maybe what I felt yesterday is no longer me. It's no longer valid for me. This is the essence of relativity. This is the essence of true wisdom. This is the eyes of the heart. Does anybody have any questions? Did I lose you?
No. I just remember years ago in 1985 was when my mother passed away. And I was not Jewish at the time, but I do remember that it was shown to me that her soul was in a garden under the throne. And that's what I thought of as you were reading. And you know, that a cemetery, the meaning of a cemetery, and linked to also their own, you know, it was all like metaphors of being planted in the ground, almost like flowers, you know, so.
Understood. It's a beautiful image.
Another thing is, I've also remember reading a description of King David's throne, or Solomon's throne, I guess it was, and how it operated, had moving parts and all. And I'll have to go and look that up, because I think that's maybe some imagery there about the throne.
There definitely will be, and the Third Temple Institute has reconstructed the throne. I may be wrong in that regard, but
I don't know.
And I personally disagree with the idea that that these things, these components for the Third Temple, need to be built by man. But, you know, I'm not the expert in this area. Although I do some study about the Third Temple, especially during these 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm. I don't think I've ever told you, but and that may be personal. We might need to talk off of the recording.
All right. Well, let me call you shortly.
Okay.
You have a beautiful You have a beautiful afternoon, and we'll speak soon.
You too. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.